it in my surroundings. Hello and welcome to episode 218 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. Guys, today has been, and yesterday has been, absolute pandemonium from free agency. It's been one of the most exciting two-day periods of football that I can even remember outside of the Super Bowl and things like that. It's been crazy trades. It's been guys getting cut. Most importantly, the running back landscape has been turned on its head. Nobody better to chop that up, talk about running backs, talk about situations than these two guys that we have. Obviously, we're going to start out Mung. I mean, this has been crazy, right? I mean, Saquon's on a new team. Jacobs, I mean, you look at it, a lot of people, you almost need to have, some paperwork next to you to try to figure out who's where, because almost every running back has joined a new team.
Yeah, this feels like the craziest day of free agency that we've had in years, at least, because we've had a lot of movement throughout free agency before in prior off seasons, but to all happen within like a 24-hour period is pretty nuts, to be honest. And updating dynasty rankings the last day or so has been just insane.
It's been fun, but it's like it really keeping you on your toes. I mean, that's one thing in the Discord. I was trying to update the rankings as we were going. You know, there's been guys from Jacobs to Barkley to your boy Austin Eckler to, you know, Snook. We've had so many guys change hands. This has been, the running back landscape has just completely changed. Like, as of 2 days ago, everything's changed. You got to look at it in a different perspective.
Yeah, and I was just saying to you guys before, I think the only one that got screwed out of all this situation-wise for fantasy football was Pollard, and he still got paid, so he's going to see volume. I think I tweeted earlier, I think the landscape got fixed for the next 1 to 2 year window, and that's where we like to look at these running backs, right? They're volatile. They're the older vets that are studs, the Ecklers, the Henrys, the Josh Jacobs, the Joe Mixons. They all found themselves in a beautiful situation where they're going to get a lot of volume on teams that are going to have to lean on them, right? Like Derrick Henry is going to be the main face of that Baltimore's offense. He's going to be a guy that has 12 to 15 touchdowns in the Gus Edwards role. But the difference is he's actually good at football, so he's going to probably go for 1,300 yards on top. So I feel good. I had a lot of Joe Mixon and Derrick Henry just from last year, and I couldn't sell them for a penny. And now they got the best landing spots they could have gotten from moving on. So big day for us.
Let's hit these one at a time. You're so excited. You're name dropping already. I love it. I want to look at it from a contract wise. I want to look at it from a situational. And then I'm going to, you know, spin in some dynasty value. The first guy I want to talk about, the biggest payday, first one, Josh Jacobs. You know, Josh Jacobs has been a borderline RB1 year in and year out. He's now 26.1 years old. He gets a 4-year deal for $48 million. Essentially, they can get out of this one pretty early in the contract, Mung. You know, we're going to talk about that a lot throughout these deals, is they're signing older running backs to longer deals because, Mung, I mean, this year's class is wide receiver heavy. They're not trusting in the running backs. The running backs in free agency, there was a frenzy to get him. And Josh Jacobs is one who now I'm willing to pay a 24 first all the way up to 110. I think this is a phenomenal situation in an ascending offense. How do you feel about this Josh Jacobs signing? You know, and it was Aaron Jones eventually got cut. We're like, will they, won't they? How's this going to work? And then all of a sudden you're like, all right, they went out and got their guy.
Yeah, and it makes sense, right? Because the Packers never really had the running back position settled last year with all of Aaron Jones's injuries. And really, I do think that based on how the contract's structured, they're not going to be afraid to run Jacobs into the ground. Mm-hmm. And because of that, his efficiency might suffer a little bit. But I think in general, Matt LaFleur is going to find ways to get his guys in space. And honestly, this is a net positive for Josh Jacobs going from the Raiders to the Packers.
Yeah. And there's a net out to be 1 year, $14.8 million. But I think, Snoog, we have a scenario here where Josh Jacobs has been on a bad offense and he's been a fringe RB1. We know him coming out of Alabama has a lot more pass catching ability than he's been there. Jordan Love's ascending. The rest of that offense is ascending. Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to be an RB1 this year. He has a ceiling, to me, almost to be a top 8 running back for 2024. How bullish are you on Josh Jacobs, and what does this do for the rest of the offense?
Yeah, the money up front from the Packers just giving him proved that they're willing to give him the ball and force feed him. Like, this is their workhorse running back that they didn't have last year, like Mung said. Like, 26 years old, he's still young. This is a guy that has had 200-plus touches in the ground game every single year in his career, whether four games or missed three. We've seen him have 340 touches and 1,600 rushing yards. Like, we've seen the elite bell cow usage and ceiling from him. That was just 2 years ago. Last year was a little banged up. The team was horrible. We're going to see a revived Josh Jacobs on the best offense he's ever played in. Good offensive line, great offensive-minded coach, good quarterback play, good wide receiver core surrounding him. They made some moves on defense. Like, this is a rising Packers team that won a playoff game last year. Now Josh Jacobs is going to be the face of the run game, a position and a part of their offense that they didn't get to activate last year that they're going to look to and lean on heavy to take some stress off Jordan Love and eliminate the turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you hit it right on there. 260-plus touches in all of his five seasons. That is the staple of consistency. You know, his yards per carry was down, but remember, there's other guys that happens too. It's the offense was absolutely abysmal with Aiden O'Connell, with, you know, yep, Jimmy Garoppolo. Now he gets a competent quarterback. He's a good pass-catching wide receiver.
There's receiving upside there too. We can't deny that part.
I firmly moved him inside my top 12 dynasty running backs.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately moved down Tajay Spears out of that area because of what we're going to talk about in a little bit. The next guy that we have to talk about is Saquon Barkley. Mung, you know, I'm an Eagles guy, so I'm pumped over here. Like, I am pumped. The question is, you know, we wanted Saquon Barkley, and we knew, and this is something that we've been talking a lot about, the price is baked in a lot of these things. We knew Saquon was going to leave. We had an idea Jacobs was going to leave. Saquon Barkley, now I've moved from being in that 109 range to that 107, 108. I'm comfortable with the 108. I'm not so comfortable with the 107. But now he goes to Philadelphia. Now, this is great on paper sometimes, but we've seen DeAndre Swift struggled in Philadelphia. We've seen some series there. How, you know, I see people on Twitter saying top three season, lock it in. You know, this is that perfect situation for him. How bullish are you on Saquon Barkley now that he's moved out of, you know, the fantasy purgatory playing for the Giants and just being everything there to now moving to an offense that's much more, you know, explosive, but he might not quite get the same amount of touches?
Yeah, I actually have, I sent you my gut reaction dynasty rankings updates. Those will be up pretty soon. But for right now, I have Barkley just above Josh Jacobs. And it's kind of like what we talked about with Jonathan Taylor last offseason, right? We expect a near workhorse role, or at least the clear lead role. And the only issue is how many touchdowns is Jalen Hurts going to vulture, right? Yeah. That's the main concern, but certainly going from the Giants to the Eagles, it's an upgrade on the offensive line, right? The Giants' offensive line was pretty much hurt the entire season in 2023, and even with Jason Kelce retiring, Philadelphia's offensive line is still a top 10 unit, and certainly I think this is a net positive, just like we talked about with Jacobs, for this move for his dynasty value.
Snoop, we were talking about a couple weeks ago, tearing down off Christian McCaffrey to Saquon Barkley plus to get yourself into a situation where Saquon has the RB1 overall upside every year. Now he goes to the Eagles, and, you know, I can see a realm of possibility where if they finally let them have their workhorse role and they don't vulture the touchdowns away, where Saquon Barkley returns to top five status. As far as dynasty goes right now, do you have him? Where do you have him right now? Like, that's the thing that everybody keeps asking. Are you, if you go out and buy him now, you're kind of doing dynasty wrong. Like, it's going to really hurt yourself. You're going to get to an area where you're going to have to pay 106 probably to get him. I'm comfortable with 108, not quite 107. And I've just put him, I move him up to, he's behind ETN, he's behind A-Chain. He's right in that same area as Kyren Williams. What are you thinking right now?
I mean, this is a guy that just got $26 million guaranteed at signing. Like, he got paid a big contract, 3 years, 37 mil. He's 27 years old. We've seen him, how he is healthy. He is going to absolutely torment the poor Giants twice a year, every year, because they haven't been able to unlock his ceiling since his rookie season, right?
So, I mean, with the Eagles, he has $26 million out of that is guaranteed. Exactly. It's not like the Jacobs deal where $12 million is guaranteed. He has You know, $26 million of it guaranteed.
They're going to get their money.
There is no potential out. So they're investing in Saquon Barkley. Could the offense be trying to reinvent itself with the new offensive coordinator here and going more with that one running back style?
I think that they showed to themselves last year and realized that they do need to run the ball. They do need to be that physical team that dominates the run game, dominates the clock, and lets Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith do what they need to do. Like, Saquon Barkley is the best running back that they've ever had in a while. He's better than Swift. He's better than anyone they've had. Miles Sanders. Like, Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift had 1,000-plus rushing yards in back-to-back seasons on the Eagles. Swift that last year and Sanders the year before. Saquon Barkley is going to probably go for, like, 1,300 yards if he stays healthy. And who knows? Maybe the tush push is still a thing, and he's dominating all his touchdowns in the red zone. But maybe he's still getting 1,300 yards and breaks off, like, 5 to 6, 8 big runs, and he scores. Like, he's a guy that can score from anywhere on the football field, and that's what separates him from guys like Swift and guys like Miles Sanders. Is he has that elite athleticism. He's one of the best, most talented running backs we've seen probably ever if he stays healthy. And we saw the ceiling as a rookie, right? It doesn't matter. He was on a horrible offense. This is about to be the best offense Saquon Barkley has ever played on, and it's going to be an offense that's top three in the NFC for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I think those two guys I'm looking at a little bit differently than the rest of the free agent class among is I'm willing to invest in Jacobs and Barkley. I have done 3 dynasty startups, and yes, Mung, I'm a glutton for pain. I have taken Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley in every single one of them, except the one Jonesy was sniping me on. I would say shout out to him, but he knew what he was doing. He was trying to take my guys. But I mean, I've been buying both of them before this news happened, and I'm firmly invested in both of them. I think both of them have one upside here and are guys that I'm willing to invest in dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, those two are the clear ones that are worth a first, right? Then you get into that. My next tier would probably be Pollard and Derrick Henry. I think those two can be strong contributors depending on how those offenses shake out. And then you're kind of getting into that mid-second range.
Well, let's go to those guys. I mean, for me, Derrick Henry's the exciting one, right? So now we have an area where you're looking at Derrick Henry, who is 30 years old. He has a 2-year, $16 million contract, guaranteed $9 million. So let's look at that. That's probably 1 year if you look at it that way, since he is 30 years old. But Mung, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield together is just a match made in heaven. If you look at Derrick Henry over the last 2 years with Tennessee, last in the league at where he was hit, like yards before contact, number one in the league in yards after contact. Now he goes to Baltimore, where the offensive line has been number one in the league in yards before contact. So if you match the yards before contact, plus with a guy that is number one in yards after contact, it is a match made in heaven. I mean, this is just the best situation for Derrick Henry, right? Like, we talk about, okay, where could he go? This is great. But he goes to the best possible scenario. I'm almost willing to say, like, and it's against dynasty principle to pay a first for Derrick Henry. But now is this, I'm just over the moon of where he could do, what he could do this year. And those shares where you were like, oh man, my rosters are getting old. I got Joe Mixon. I got Aaron Jones. I got Derrick Henry. Ride them into the sunset if you are a contender, Mung.
Yeah, and I have Derrick Henry ranked just on the cusp, right? So a late first, I don't think that's unreasonable. I have him in that late first, early second range because, again, Gus Edwards ran in, 12, 13 touchdowns last year? And we're talking about – and look, I love the Gus bus, but he's not an elite talent by any means, right? And just imagine the nightmares the defense is going to have with Lamar and Derrick Henry in the backfield. I, for one, I'm excited for week 9 or 10. When Derrick Henry throws a touchdown to Lamar. So then you get that passing touchdown too for Derrick Henry. But yeah, in general, I think he again has clear RB1 potential, even if it's for one more season.
Snook, you were excited about this scenario too. I got to think about the flip side here. Is this going to limit Lamar Jackson a little bit more? And I want to go back with you guys. Is his rushing upside going to be a little bit more capped now that there's a real running back? I mean, Lamar Jackson has led the league in rushing as a quarterback multiple seasons. somewhat, obviously he's going to keep running the ball, somewhat out of necessity because there's no run game at all. Do you think Derrick Henry is going to vulture a little bit more touchdowns that might move Lamar Jackson down a little bit, or do you just see them both sharpening each other and just, you know, grinding it out?
Just with Lamar's play style and game, I think he's still going to be always like a 600, 700 rushing yard guy. I think Derrick Henry definitely takes a little bit out of it, though, because they're going to lean more on him in the run game than they would have with like a Gus Edwards or like a Justice Hill. Like, you don't want to put all the marbles into a guy like that. But Derrick Henry, like, you're giving him the ball between the 20s. You're giving him the ball in the red zone. You're giving him the ball on first and second downs. It's going to be definitely a ceiling cap for Lamar in terms of, like, is he going to be a 1,000-yard rusher and score 8 rushing touchdowns? We'll probably never see that again. We're going to probably see more composed, more play action heavy under center Lamar Jackson getting the ball downfield and excelling as a passer. So I'm excited. I think the whole offense just gets a boost with this. They're going to be more consistent. They're going to have the ball for longer. That's Ravens football, right? It's pounding the rock, keeping the ball away from the other team and winning games with their strategy and with running the football. So I think they're going to be even more deadly than they were last year with that elite defense and having the ball for most of the game.
And Snoog, I mean, I've been advocating. I had Derrick Henry in that mid-second range. Now that he goes to Baltimore, the fact that there is literally no running back that can run like Derrick Henry in this class, are you okay giving up the 111 or 112 for Derrick Henry if you're one piece away? You know, I never advocate buying that running back now. I mean, but is this a scenario where, like, okay, I'm willing to give that up because I know that's going to be, you know, maybe Corum sneaks into 112. Maybe one of those guys is in there. Mm-hmm. Or are we just trying to shift to one of these other guys later on in this podcast at a little bit cheaper price? Are you willing to go in on Derrick Henry?
I saw Derrick Henry get traded twice today already. I saw 204 for Derrick Henry straight up. And then I saw Derrick Henry and the 301 for the 201. So yeah, I think that's right about where he's going to go. Is probably, you could probably get the 112 if you're getting value from a max contender, and you could probably sell out of him if you're nervous for like the 203, 204.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on the roster, but I would definitely be willing to give up just even if I get one more year of him top five, like 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, boom. Yeah. I'd ship off the 201 or the 112 to get that to help me win my league and possibly pocket my buy-in. So.
Mung, we've been doing this for like 3 years, and I think 3 years ago we were like, sell Derrick Henry. He can't keep doing it. I'm at a spot right now. I mean, if I'm rebuilding or if I am not a smash contender, if I'm not right there, if you give me a first today, I'm going to run with it. You know, if you give me a first for Derrick Henry, I don't think his value can go up much more than it is today. You know, even if he's mid-season, he's rushing for 100 yards a game and he's got 10 touchdowns halfway through the season, you're still not going to get much more than a late first because the contenders are the ones that want him. If you're in a rebuild and you've been holding on to him, because I can't tell you how many DMs I get a day saying, what do I do with Derrick Henry? What do I do with Joe Mixon? What do I do with Aaron Jones? Right now is your peak time. Everyone's so excited about free agent frenzy. I'm selling him for any first if I'm not a contender.
Yeah, I think both of what you said is about right. And I think I'll speak for playoff John that he would gladly pay the 112 for Derrick Henry on a contending team. So I think that kind of a deal is a win-win for both parties right now.
Yeah. Shout out to John. He's out in Chicago right now trying to check on Justin Fields, see what the scenario is there, you know. And I think, you know, I own all John's picks because he loves trading them away. I have them for the next couple of years. So love it. Shout out to Joshua Cho, who's commenting in here. That's at JB Cho on Twitter. I love that you guys are getting involved now on Twitter, on YouTube, mid podcast. We love that kind of stuff. Make sure you guys hit us up. I want to move over to the other guy that you said there is Tony Pollard. So Tony Pollard's been very polarizing in this. I mean, Tony Pollard right now is 26.8 years old, so almost 27 years old, 3 years, $24 million deal, and all that we have guaranteed is $8 million on this particular contract. Tajay Spears was someone that everybody was buying in on because Derrick Henry was going to leave, and Tajay Spears was going to be the guy, and you know, I'm going to comment at the end, obviously, you know, I'm still buying Tajay Spears, but sell me on Tony Pollard, because I feel like we have a very similar skill set in two guys that neither of them are bell cows, but both of them are nice complementary pieces.
Yeah, and I actually think this is weirdly a good thing for both Spears and Pollard, because like you said, they do have a similar play style where they're explosive, but neither of them is built to be a workhorse. Personally, it depends on price, but I think there are a lot of dynasty GMs out there who are just so sick of Pollard burning them last year after he got overhyped all of last offseason. That they're completely out and they're looking to sell. And I actually think Pollard is a buy for an early second or less. You can maybe get him for a mid second in some leagues. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just the coaching changes in Tennessee, right? As good as Mike Vrabel was, he wasn't some offensive genius, and neither is Brian Callahan necessarily, but we've seen that Bengals offense operated well. Granted, they had Joe Burrow, but still, I think what they can try and do with the run game, get those guys into space, possibly even see some packages where both Spears and Pollard are on the field at the same time. And then two, the other thing that's been discussed a little bit is the hiring of Mike Munchak, right? He was actually in Tennessee as the head coach, what, a decade ago for the tail end of Chris Johnson's career. And I think he knows how to use these running backs, how to coach up that offensive line to help them find those gaps and get them into that second level of the field. So I don't think either Spears or Pollard is going to be a league winner by any means, but I think Pollard can be a strong RB2 in fantasy, and Spears still have that handcuff upside that we had, at least we hoped for him last year as a rookie.
Yeah. And I think what people, you hit the nail on the head there. That was great analysis. Is, you know, Tony Pollard finishes the RB14. It's just everybody wanted him to be top five, top eight. You know what I mean? And it made it seem much worse. I'm willing to buy both of these guys. I have Tajay Spears at the 202. Tony Pollard, I'm debating back and forth between the 204 and the 206, given the age gap, because I think there's a real scenario there. If Tony Pollard goes down, that Tajay Spears could really blow up. And I think both these guys.
Did you say 202 for Spears?
I'm still willing to pay. Ooh,
that's pretty aggressive for me. I think he's more in that mid to late second now.
I had him at 111, but I'm now moving him. I think they're both similar values there. Snook, if they come to you one or the other, are you taking Spears, you taking Pollard at the same cost?
Oof. I think Mung nailed it. I think they're very similar skill sets, but they're going to be guys that are kind of in that 1-2 punch. Pollard's a bigger back. He's probably going to be the goal line guy, so there's going to be upside there for him to score more touchdowns. But I think we're going to see a lot of Tajay on third down. He's going to catch probably 50 passes again. I think, personally, you don't pay a guy $26 million for 3 years to not use him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw the Saints sign Jamal Williams, and he's just atrocious, and he still was seeing the field all the time. Yeah. Whole time,
unless it's Miles Sanders,
just paying him for Miles
Sanders. So,
well,
you never
Carolina is just gonna Carolina. That's what they
I think. Tajay definitely took the biggest hit, so I'd look to buy Tajay over Pollard, because everyone's just like, oh, our Tajay season was all it's already over. Like,
yeah, had well, I saw that
2 months and it's over. So, Tajay, you could probably get, like Mung said, for a late second. I'd pay that all day because he's on the rookie contract, he's young, he's healthy. Pollard. He had an efficient year, but he's coming off a completely broken leg. And like, that's not an injury that it's just like, all right, I'm fresh, I'm ready to go. Like, he's going to probably be a lot better this year than he was last year. So I'm excited to see how he kind of pans out there. Like what Mung said, that Tennessee offense loves to run the football. They got two guys there now. We're going to see probably like a 60-40, maybe 65-35 split.
The next biggest contract, we went from the Eagles. Now we're moving over to former Eagle DeAndre Swift going to the Bears. Everybody wanted Roshan. Everybody loves Khalil Herbert. You know, everybody's got their favorite. Swift at 25 years old gets a 3-year, $24 million deal with 15.3 guaranteed. So DeAndre Swift now moves to a, you know, if you look at what he was able to do in the early part of the season, you know, when he was getting 16 plus touches, he was putting up points, you know, like he was putting up excellent fantasy points. When that Eagles offense started to falter, it was a different kind of story. But I think DeAndre Swift now goes to an area where this Bears offense is slowly becoming one of my favorites. Right. I mean, they're going to add Caleb Williams. They're going to add another wide receiver potentially. They're really starting to move in the right direction where, you know, I was looking at it. What I had was weeks 1 through 9, he averaged 20.6 touches. Weeks 10 through 18 down to 12.8. when he did those, I mean, the fantasy points are totally, he was the RB6 in those first 9 weeks. They stopped giving him, he's a volume guy. Like, he's someone that has high upside. Now he gets to play against his former team, the Lions, twice. Snoog, I see you shaking your head. I mean, is Swift someone who's now borderline entered that late first, early second rookie pick value for someone like that?
Yeah, absolutely. 25 years old. He got the contract. He profiles as a three down back. He's got the pedigree. He's flashed that upside on the Lions. He flashed it on the Eagles. He's coming off a 1,000-yard season, his best on the ground yet in his career. And he lacked in the past catching passes out of the backfield area. But we saw in Detroit, he was an elite pass catcher. This Chicago Bears offense is rising rapidly. I think they're going to be very good in a year or two when Swift is mid-contract. I think there's a chance Swift finds his way back into the top eight, top nine dynasty running backs because he's going to be able to shine, right? Like, Khalil Herbert's not taking from DeAndre Swift. He's not some big goal linebacker either. Like, he's been injured. Maybe Roshan profiles into that Jamal Williams role eventually, but DeAndre Swift, 15 mil guaranteed, 3-year deal, just 25 years old. Him and Cale Williams is going to be a lot of fun. And then you got DJ Moore, you got Cole Kmet. Like, they're going to want to run this football, make things easy for Caleb. I had DeAndre Swift in my top 12 before this. He's staying and he's bumping up, if anything. I love the landing spot there in Chicago. And I'm going and I'm buying all day early second ranges because there is no running back in this class unless maybe Blake Corum goes to the Chargers. That is going to be in a better situation and better than DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I moved him from 203 to 112 range. Mung, I mean, Swift's been a guy that you have not traditionally been super high on in the past. Are you interested in buying now, moving over to the Chicago Bears? Or is this going to be a little bit of a committee here and we still don't see what we've always wanted of DeAndre Swift really getting the keys to the car?
I'll put it this way. I think this is the Miles Sanders contract of this offseason, where the Bears are going to have big regrets midway through the season. I could see Herbert or Roshan Johnson taking over at some point. I've never been a Swift believer. He's getting a downgrade from the Philly offensive line to the Chicago offensive line, a major downgrade. That was in part what helped him have a couple big games last season. I don't believe in his ability to stay healthy. That was his first year staying healthy. I think at best, this is a committee on a poor offense. Hopefully they get Caleb Williams, but I don't know how much faith I have in the Bears organization building around him. They've just made a ton of terrible, terrible decisions throughout the years. I say this as a Chicagoan, and maybe it's just my bias, but I personally do not think that this was a smart signing for them. I don't think running back was an area of need per se. I don't have quite the same faith in DeAndre Swift or the Bears coaching staff. Bringing in Shane Waldron, I think he did fine in Seattle, but I don't think he's someone who's going to necessarily elevate the players there.
There's two guys that had such a roller coaster. You know, Joe Mixon and Aaron Jones go from getting cut to both getting potentially upgraded situations, at least in a dynasty setting where it's like, I keep telling everybody this. They're saying, well, you know, Joe Mixon went from the Bengals to the Texans, so why is that a increase in value? And Aaron Jones went from a good offense in Green Bay to Minnesota. Why is that good for a quick bump? And Mung, you and I talk about it a lot, is like, there's a lot of things that have to do with perception. Now they've changed. You have new trade partners, right? You might have a Vikings fan in your league. You might have a Texans fan in your league. You might have someone that likes that new idea where Aaron Jones staying in Green Bay was going to stay at the same value. Joe Mixon staying in Cincinnati was going to stay at the same value. Both of them get a new situation. It gives you a new, fresh opportunity to sell or buy. Are you buying or selling either of these guys?
I actually didn't move either of them too much in my dynasty rankings. I think the role is going to be similar for Aaron Jones going from the Packers to the Vikings. I think, again, it depends on the quarterback play, right? I mean, if it's Sam Darnold, I don't know how much I faith I have in Aaron Jones. Maybe if they draft a quarterback, perhaps they move up a few spots to get one. I know J.J. McCarthy's been mocked here and there to the Vikings. In general, I do think Kevin O'Connell is a good scheme. So Jones, for me, stays in that RB2 range, where I think the bigger issue is that he's getting up there in age and that he's had a bunch of nagging injuries over the last few years, right? That's the biggest concern, is that he's not going to be able to have a big workload. He'll probably start the season off hot, right? We saw that last year, week one, he was having a blow-up game, and then he missed the next few games. Yeah. So I think he's fine. He's a fine hold. He's a fine buy, and he's a fine sell, depending on what your roster looks like.
Yeah.
And as for Joe Mixon, again, I think it's a minor upgrade in that he has less competition, given that Houston seems to really hate Dameon Pierce. But really, it's not all that different from Cincinnati, where he's tied to a good quarterback in C.J. Stroud and what we think is going to be an effective offense overall. And the hope is that he's going to get that same goal line work. But again, I don't know that he's going to be a workhorse, or that they're going to use him more than the Bengals did as a receiver out of the backfield. So I think both of those guys stay in that mid-range RB2 spot for me.
Yep, I'm not moving them very much. I'm just saying the perception and value real quick there could move around. Snoog, I mean, if you got these guys right now and someone comes to you right now and they say, hey, 205, you want it? Smash or pass?
I would definitely trade Aaron Jones for that. I think Joe Mixon's a much better player than Aaron Jones is at this point in their career. He can command the volume. We saw it in Cincinnati last year, 50-plus passes out of the backfield, 1,000-yard rushing. The Bengals' offensive line hasn't been good ever since Joe Mixon's been there. So I think the Texans isn't anything to rave about either, but it's definitely an upgrade in terms of just running the ball and being an offensive line team. So I think Joe Mixon's just, like Monk said, quarterback upgrade, it's basically the same thing. Offensive upgrade, basically the same thing. But he's going to be on a run-heavy offense where, like, they tried to run the ball so many times. Like, they were feeding Dameon Pierce. They were feeding Singletary. Pretty sure Dameon Pierce was getting, like, 15 touches for, like, 32 yards rushing. It was just not working. Kind of that Bobby Slowick outside zone scheme. I think we're going to see a lot of mixing out of shotgun in that inside and outside zone. I think he's going to be another 250 fantasy point guy. He's still just 27 years old. Maybe you get 2 years out of him. Aaron Jones's issue is just he can't stay healthy. So I think Joe Mixon's definitely like the healthier version and more of a workhorse and a better offense.
Yeah, I think this is, again, like Derrick Henry, if you've been holding on to these guys and you're a contender, ride him in. Yep, exactly. Ride him into the ground. If you are not a contender, you got to sell him. I mean, now is there's especially Aaron Jones's hamstrings are put together by paper mache, so they could blow at any point. So you got to sell if you're not a contender. You know, you move yourself off. Guys, if you're trying to move to another running back, like who's someone that, you know, based off of the information, they're kind of not in the limelight. You know, Joe Mixon's in that limelight. Aaron Jones, if you're trying to make a trade, is there a running back that you'd be willing to go out and get, Snoog? I mean, is there someone that you're like, okay, I'm gonna shift from this and try to get a little bit younger?
Yeah, number 41, and he plays in black and gold. Best value every year, year after year. I've been buying him for 4 straight years, and he pays off every time. So Alvin Kamara.
I like it. Monk, what about you? If you got to trade off of these guys and strike while the iron's hot, is there a running back that you're willing to commit to?
Yeah, I think you can get Zach Moss plus for either of those guys right now. And I wouldn't be shocked if Zach Moss was more productive than both of them.
Glad you brought him up. Yeah, I think there's a real scenario right now where I've been talking to people and Zach Moss is still, I bought him today for a third. I don't understand. Chase Brown, okay. But Zach Moss was fantastic before Jonathan Taylor came back. I mean, the games that he was putting up, if you look at it in a PPC league, like 0.25 per carry, he was putting up crazy numbers. He was 25.2, 30, 13.5, 39.25, 19.25. He was a top five running back. And during that time, he had 27 receptions and 4.3 yards per carry. You know, he finished the season with 7 touchdowns in a complimentary role. And Mung, I'm with you. I'm buying Zach Moss where I can. He was going to be, in my mind, during the startup drafts, I'm like, this is someone that I think is going to get a nice complimentary role somewhere now. But now I think, for me, I'm investing in him over Chase Brown. He's my 1A. Brown's my 1B. I know that's not a popular take on Twitter right now because everybody seems to love Chase Brown. I think you nailed it. I mean, Zach Moss is a good buy.
Yeah, I don't know that he's all that different from Joe Mixon. He's basically almost a one-for-one replacement. I think maybe he's even slightly more explosive at times. We saw that last year that Moss was able to break off some big touchdown runs. And I think Chase Brown's going to be involved still. Certainly, much like Mixon, they're not going to use Moss a ton as a receiver. So Chase Brown's still going to have that Tyjae Spears-type upside each game where he's going to catch a few passes, and he does have the speed to break off some long plays of his own. But again, I mean, I think that there's legit top 12 upside next year for Zach Moss, and he's not being talked about a whole lot that I can see, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing values right now, Snoog, where Zach Moss, Chase Brown are both being valued around that 210. If you had to buy one right now, who would that be and why?
Definitely Zach Moss, like Monk said. I just think he's a far better player than Chase Brown. I think he profiles as a workhorse. He's more of a vet. He's more pro-ready and ready to go for the Bengals. I know Chase Brown has the experience in that offense already, but I think they'll both play. It'll probably be like a pretty decently even split, but I think Zach Moss would be like that goal line guy and get a lot of more of like the between the 20s work. So whoever gets the most volume in an elite offense is the guy that I'm going to chase.
Going by our next highest paid contract, and this one's kind of surprising to me, but it's Devin Singletary going to the Giants. So Devin Singletary, I know this isn't sexy and no one's talking about it, but he got 3 years, 16.5 with a guaranteed of 9.5.
It's a good contract.
And that is a very good contract. Mung, that says to me, like, okay, the Giants realize they're in a bit of a, you know, they're not going to take a bunch of big swings. And Devin Singletary could be an RB2 in 2024, but it's not somebody where you sound like, you can even tell in my voice, I was like saying it question wise, like, I'm Ron Burgundy, you know, like we're putting it out that way. I'm like, I mean, should we buy Devin Singletary?
Yeah. I mean, he was explosive last year. We saw that, and he reunites with Brian Daboll. We saw him have some good games in Buffalo. Great under point. Daboll. Yeah. I do think it's going to still be a committee, right? It's going to be frustrating at times, but I'll tell you right now, I know you guys won't want to hear this, but I'll take Zach Moss and Devin Singletary over DeAndre Swift pretty easily.
Woo! You heard it there. Hot take. I take Snoog. Is Eric Gray someone we're paying attention to, or the Giants clearly someone that's going to probably draft another running back?
I think if they look to do anything, they'll bring in a guy in free agency, in the drafts. I mean, they just signed Devin Singletary, almost $9 million guaranteed up front. They'll probably look to add a guy in round 3 or 4. Maybe it's like a Jalen Wright or Jonathan Brooks type of guy that can catch passes out of the backfield, more in that workhorse profile type. Maybe they add Braylon Allen and get a big goal line bully up front, or an Audric Estime in the short yardage to pair with Singletary and have like a 1-2 punch. I don't know what it's going to be, but I can promise you I probably don't think it's just going to be Singletary back there getting the ball. He's not a workhorse running back. We saw him on the Texans. Like, he had some spike weeks, but he couldn't get the ground game going even when there was nothing there. So he's a guy that definitely needs a complimentary guy in that backfield.
I think it'd actually be interesting if the Giants signed Dante Foreman to go with him. I think that'd be nice. A good pairing. Yeah. But no, I don't know that they're going to spend more money at running back.
Yeah. We'll go to another running back here, Snoog. I think you're kind of familiar with 2 years, $8.3 million for Austin Ekeler to the Commanders. Do we like it? Do we love it? Do we hate it? Is this the right spot for him? And what do you think for 2024?
I like it. I think he gets a new change of scenery. He gets to go play there and be the lead guy in a rising offense. They're looking to get their starting quarterback at the second pick. They added some offensive linemen up front. They added a ton on defense. They went crazy in free agency. They have a whole new coaching staff. I think he's still an elite pass catcher. He's getting up there in age, but he's still a guy. People are talking about his speed and losing his burst. He played on a high ankle sprain all season. He was injured. Nobody's fast on that. He had, like, in that Miami game, I saw he hit like 20 miles an hour. He still got juice. It's hard to have juice when you're playing on basically a fractured ankle. So I have faith in Austin. I think he's going to have a good bounce back this year, and I think he's going to make things happen in Washington.
Mung, how do you see the split with Brian Robinson, who had a pretty impressive season there coming out? Him and Austin Ekeler, how do you see them breaking things down? And if you had to choose one, who are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, it's still Ekeler. I do think it'll be a committee. The good thing about Washington is that whatever you might think about Cliff Kingsbury, he likes to play a fast-paced offense. So there's going to be potentially more volume to go around, even if they are splitting. I'm honestly, Eckler was the hardest one for me to rank with these free agency moves, because you have questions at quarterback. It sounds like they're preparing for a Jaden Daniels or someone at two, signing Mariota to be the backup. I don't think it's going to be Howell. I think that experiment has run its course, even though I would be interested to see Howell start somewhere.
Yeah. I think the writing's on the wall there with Mariota coming in there to, just like Philly did, to have him be a capable backup, but to kind of keep mentoring Jalen Hurts. I think he's perfect there for Jaden Daniels. Does that mean that they're going to try to trade Sam Howell on draft day? You know, like it feels like a weird thing so. to pay a QB3 $6 million. That's not a thing.
I don't think it'll happen, but I'd actually be really interested to see Howell in Minnesota.
Yes, I think that would be
a great spot for him. But I think Minnesota is also eyeing a rookie quarterback. This is a fairly deep quarterback class, at least based on what NFL teams are reporting. Yeah, it's tough with Austin Eckler, because I do think there's still some burst there, but he's going to be, what, 29 next year, in a committee, going to be the lead back in that committee. But how many touchdowns are the Commanders scoring? Bringing in Cliff Kingsbury with a rookie QB, right? There's going to be some growing pains. Personally, I think he's a fine buy for an early mid-second, but I would not be paying a first for Eckler at this point.
In the offseason, I was buying him for late seconds. I got him for 209, 211, not together. There's two separate deals. Now I'm comfortable selling at the 205, but I think he could have some good weeks there. I think they're going to bounce back and forth. Two more signings here that I wanted to get to, and then we'll talk about some quarterback changes and what that means for the running backs, because we're trying to keep this as a running back show. Among the Gus Bus, you know, he goes and plays fantastic with Baltimore, touchdown machine. Now he goes to the Chargers at a, what, 3.37. So, you know, it's not starter money. This obviously opens up a window. You know, we think Blake Corum goes to the Chargers. You know, that's just what everybody keeps saying. Is Gus Edwards kind of just a lateral move right now, or does he lose some value by leaving the Baltimore offense?
No, I think it's a fairly lateral move in terms of his dynasty value. I'm pretty sure John told Jim at brunch one Sunday, like, hey, Gus Bus is pretty good. Give him a shot. Again, I think his role stays pretty much the same, right? Yeah. I think he's going to be that goal line guy. Is he going to score double-digit touchdowns again? I don't know about that. The Ravens had a top offensive line, right? And the Chargers aren't quite that. But in general, I think he's still a usable flex play, much like he was this past year.
And then Antonio Gibson, Snoog, you know, goes to the Patriots. I think this definitely has a little bit of more of an effect on, you know, he gets 3 years, $11.25 million. And I think this takes away a little bit more from Ramondre Stevenson's ceiling. You know, I was all in on Ramondre again. I think that this is an interesting spot for Antonio Gibson, who is a, you know, great pass catching running back. They're likely going to take Drake May in the draft, you know, so now they have a guy that could be a security blanket. Are you investing into Antonio Gibson, or is this just kind of meh?
Yeah, I think he's just a high upside handcuff type of guy. He's going to get passing down work. I think the guy's still Ramondre there. He's the workhorse. He's the big body running back that can run between the tackles consistently. I think Gibson can kind of shape back to form a little bit and kind of be that 1-2 punch, be the lightning to Ramondre Stevenson's thunder. But fantasy value-wise, I don't think there's anything crazy there. Like I said, high upside guy. Maybe he finds himself in that third down role. I think that's why they brought him in. But we know that Browns offensive coordinator is going to want to run that ball. And I think Ramondre is a great buy, especially today. We saw the Gibson signing. All right, now maybe people are like, is Ramondre the workhorse? Are they going to use Gibson? What's going on? Take advantage of that. Go send out a mid-second round pick for Ramondre Stevenson, who's still on a rookie contract with New England.
Among Dallas didn't make any moves. Right now they're sitting there with, you know, Rico Dwaddle, and you know that's not who they're gonna be.
Who's fun?
Right, this is not who it's gonna be. If you had to guess right now, I mean, there's, you know, obviously Zeke coming back. There's Alexander Mattison's a free agent. Damian Harris, Deontay Foreman, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon. Not any super sexy names, but who would you like to see land in Dallas, and you think could really bump their stock?
I don't know if it'd be a good move, but for some reason, it just feels like AJ Dillon would be the kind of guy that, that Dallas would want. Honestly, I think they'll take a shot in the draft as well. Grab somebody in the mid rounds. I don't know what's going on with the Cowboys offense, where if they're going to try and make some significant changes, this is kind of the last prove it year, right, for both McCarthy and Dak Prescott. So they're going to need to try and put up as many points as they can to kind of prove their worth. And honestly, it wouldn't be the best spot to me, just because whoever lands there, I think at this point, the tier of running backs left in free agency, maybe they take a shot on J.K. Dobbins. That would be kind of interesting. But
yeah, that's why I like that too.
I wouldn't necessarily go out and, you know, be screaming to buy J.K. Dobbins. Maybe roll the dice with a late second. Dallas is a kind of a hands-off situation where I might just be looking to invest in the cheapest running back of the bunch once that backfield gets settled.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh situation has changed a little bit, Snoog. And I put this post out because sometimes, you know, we can see the writing on the wall. Russell Wilson was going to be going there to Pittsburgh. I think he rises a lot of sinking ships there. And for me, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, both of them over 70 reception seasons under their belt. And oh, by the way, Russell Wilson targets the running back second most in the NFL over the last several years at 24%. And I think there's an area here where we have a 1A with Najee Harris and a 1B with Jaylen Warren, and both of them, Najee as an early second, Warren as a late second. And if either of them go down, I think they have some back-end RB1 potential, given that the offense seems to be, you know, rising a little bit with Russell Wilson. It's interesting, especially with Deontay Johnson leaving for Carolina. They could be, you know, having both of these guys go out into the backfield a little bit more, a little bit too running back package. Are you buying either Pittsburgh running backs right now?
I am, actually, because I think, like you said, Russell Wilson being there, the offense gets a lot better. There's going to be a lot more opportunity in the passing game for these running backs out of the backfield. And we're going to see Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren in a run-heavy offense. Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator there now. We saw what he did with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson in that kind of 1-2 punch. I know we didn't love it because we wanted to see Bijan go for 400 touches and score 500 fantasy points, but that's not how some coaches like to run their offenses. They like to keep guys fresh. We're going to see Najee Harris probably eat up on the first and second down, and we're going to see Warren in that fun, gadgety third down role and in the screen game. So I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw last year, just in a better offense. And we saw Najee Harris start to use his size better, get downhill better, work between the tackles better, a lot less bouncing things outside and getting downhill and using his power. And we saw Warren just lightning fast, being that explosive playmaker around the outside. So I'm excited for them personally, and I think they're very undervalued because I think everyone still thinks Russ stinks, even though he's actually been pretty decent. Denver was horrible last year. Like, they had nothing on offense. Steelers is a huge upgrade for them, and I think the biggest winner out of all of it, George Pickens, especially after that Deontay Johnson trade. I think Pickens is going to go absolutely bizarre. 1,140 yards this past year with Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. So yeah, I'm excited for George Pickens.
You know Pittsburgh is going to draft another wide receiver in the second round. That's just what they do. You know, and then they go trade him and they let him go somewhere
else. Xavier Worthy at 20.
Yeah, Mung, you in on either of these running backs right now at cost?
Nah. Yeah, I guess.
Okay. It's cheap. I feel like you could get either of them for a second. So it's just like, why not, right? Like,
you can, but again, I think I'd rather target, you know, some of these free agency landing guys with a Zach Moss, right? He's probably, you can probably get him for less than it would take to get Najee Harris. And, again, I mean, we talked about Aaron Jones, Singletary. Again, I don't know that he's going to perform much differently from Jaylen Warren, maybe even better, right? If he gets that lead role, even in the committee, where outside of those top couple tiers of running backs, a lot of these guys are comparable. And I think really the issue for Pittsburgh, part of it was definitely the quarterback play, don't get me wrong, but also a big issue was the offensive line, right? And they still haven't done a whole lot just yet to fix that. I agree with Snoog. I think Pickens is the big winner here. We saw that Russ wasn't afraid to chuck it down and, you know, Cortland Sutton down there somewhere, right? And that's how it's going to be with Pickens, which is exactly what George Pickens wants, right? We see him yelling for the ball. So, again, I think this move impacts Pickens a lot more than it does Najee or Jaylen Warren's dynasty value.
one more running back I want to talk about because, you know, he burst on the scene week 15, 16, and 17 when Jacobs was out. RB12, RB17, RB8. You know, Zamir White was winning people fantasy championships. So that's in their mind. They're starting to think that way. And, you know, he avoids round one, right? I mean, Snoog, we talk about this. A lot of people want to anoint him the RB1, just like they wanted to do with Ty Chandler. And now Ty Chandler is by the wayside, you know, because Aaron Jones is going to be there, which you already said, the zig when they zag, go buy Ty Chandler because he's probably dirt cheap. But Zamir White, my guy Dave Heilman from Dynasty Dorks, you know, he put a poll out there, go follow him, put a poll out there to see what the value is. And 35% of people said they're willing to pay an early second for Zamir White. Now, he avoided the first round, right, of free agency. Someone else might go there. Now we got the draft coming up. Is Zamir White someone that we're investing in? This is always a scary situation for me, Snoog, because today, in my mind, Zamir White is worth like the 208. If they don't draft someone, he might be worth the 206. If they do draft someone, he's not even worth a third, or not even worth a second. He goes into that third round. So, like, what are you trying to invest in is what I've been telling people. Because I got 40 DMs this week, no lie, saying, I'm going to go buy Zamir White. What do you think? And I'm like, for me, the risk doesn't outweigh the reward. Like, it doesn't make sense for me.
Yeah, with the rate, just with the trust Pierce has in a guy like Zamir White, he's always preached him and gassed up how good of a player he is. He's putting the work in the weight room. He's putting the work in on the field, off the field. I think just letting Josh Jacobs walk and bringing in nobody else at a free agency other than Gardner is just a big plus for him. There's a couple guys in the 24 draft class that could come in and take the role from him instantly. But if he survives that round two to round three range and then they don't bring in a guy like Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, Blake Corum, Jonathan Brooks, I think there's a chance Zamir White is the starter next year, maybe the year after. I think everybody needs to understand how good the 2025 running back draft class is and kind of look at it like, okay, I have all these Rashad Whites, James Cooks, and Zamir Whites for this year, and I got to get them off my team before that 2025 draft rolls around, because there's going to be a lot of jobs stolen and the landscape's going to fix itself. So
they're perfect guys to move in season if you're not contending. You're right. Move them over there.
See you later. Give me a second round pick.
Mung, what are you thinking of Zamir White? You know, like, this is just a situation where Josh Jacobs leaves. Should we be investing in him because of that situation? Or, you know, are we avoiding it because there could be more, you know, there's not a lot left in free agency. I mean, I think AJ Dillon could cut into him a little bit, but there's not a ton. Maybe Zeke goes there.
Yeah, I don't think those guys necessarily make sense for the Raiders, though, because Zamir White's already that kind of big bruising back, right? He's a strong runner. I think Luke Getsy being the offensive coordinator there actually helps, because we saw with the Bears that he was willing to just pound his bigger running backs near the goal line, right? We had that the huge Dante Foreman league-winning week, right, where he had three or four touchdowns, something like that.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think that it's just going to be Zamir White. But like you said, I don't know that there's any truly better options, whether in the draft or free agency, where maybe they do add a compliment. But I do think this is Zamir White's lead job to lose in camp. And I think he can be a decent RB2, at least for this season. I don't think he's a long-term dynasty hold, but I'm fine with buying Zamir White at least for 2024.
I like it. Guys, this was a fun show. I mean, this has been a fun time going over running backs. Everyone's excited on Twitter. Everybody's excited in the Discord, in the Patreon. I mean, it's just blowing up. Mung, I know your dynasty rankings, you're updating those, and those are going to be coming out. So tell us a little bit about what you're working on, then we'll go over to you, Snoog, and close it out.
Yeah, I put in my gut reaction dynasty rankings already, but I'll be tweaking those. And then probably early next week, I'll have an updated dynasty rankings out. You guys can find those over at Fantrax. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter or X at FFA_Mung. That's MENG. And hey, don't forget, DJ Dallas signed with the Arizona Cardinals, so we didn't talk about him.
DJ Clue? No, it's new. You're on, baby.
Yeah, I think now I'm at the point where I'm going to focus on getting my dynasty rankings together so that I can just update them post-draft. But I think right now with everything that's been happening. I think we're a T. Higgins and a Marquise Brown move away from me being to completely put out rankings I'm confident in. Once we get that, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm going to focus on. Focus shaping up that wide receiver landscape, the running back landscape. Quarterback hasn't really changed much for me, but I'm mainly going to focus on that. And then after this week, we know what time it is. It's time to roll into the draft. My rookie content's going to start rolling out again. We're going to start putting out who we like, who we don't like, what you need to do with those rookie picks, and who are guys you can target with those rookie picks. Because if we have 10 rookie picks, we're not making all 10 picks, right? Like, we're going to try to turn five of those picks into some studs. So I'm excited for that.
Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process. Let's trade these old running backs.